not challenge each other.
You want? I'll fight for you.
Play it draw. Let's go.
It's play the main, baby. Let's get him.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Eagles Live here at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro on this Thursday. Eagles coordinators will meet the media as we get one day closer to the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of things to get to today. Obviously, we want to take your predictions. We want to talk about Eagles 49ers, the state of this 1-2 Eagles team. I'd first like to start with kind of a throwback. This morning, I spent my time watching the new NFL Network special. It's Reggie White and Jerome Brown, A Football Life. It airs tonight at 10 o'clock. In a moment, we're going to play you a segment from that. It is a great piece. Anyone who was here and who loves the Eagles, anyone who was here as a fan in the late 80s, early 90s, must-see TV, chronicling the life and the death of two men who were larger-than-life personalities. Reggie White, of course, came from the USFL, an all-time great in the NFL, a player who played 15 years in this league and is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Jerome Brown, first-round draft pick, really didn't play that long. So probably wouldn't be a guy who you would think about being in the Hall of Fame, but was a dominant force for the Eagles in his time on the field, off the field. I think we have a clip. Do we have a clip ready to go? Let's have a little preview of this. And we're going to promote this throughout the show because it's a great, great piece. It airs tonight at 10 o'clock on NFL Network. It re-airs throughout the weekend and as late as next Wednesday. I urge every Eagles fan to tune in. If you don't have NFL Network, get it. You know, you're going to get a short-term subscription, whatever. It is great, great television. Here's a little snippet of what you'll see tonight.
Defensive linemen on the same defensive line like these two guys, never ever in the history of the game.
You knew when you were going to play Reggie and Jerome, everything you did as a quarterback changed.
Who are you going to double team? You're going to double team Reggie White? You're going to double team Jerome Brown? Who are you going to block?
I got hit so many times in that game, I literally thought that they were going to carry me out in a body cast.
People look at us like we're crazy when we go on the field, and I could care less, we're going to still hit them in the mouth, regardless.
Jerome Brown constantly moving and constantly talking.
Jerome would get on his motorcycle, and he would ride from the locker room across Veterans Stadium parking lot. It speeds upwards of 70, 80 miles an hour. Chasing seagulls. I mean, it was a hard thing to watch.
On the other side, you got Reggie White. Oh, hallelujah. He's the preaching man.
Father. Reggie believed what he believed, and he was going to live by what he believed. He walked the walk.
Reggie loved Jerome.
Reggie was constantly trying to get him to settle down.
No! Let's go!
Jerome oftentimes didn't want to hear a lot of that stuff.
I just, you know, sit back and I learn from Reggie. Now I feel like I'm at home because I can talk to him anytime I want without a problem.
I think Jerome has a lot to learn, and that's something I want to spend some time with to try to help him learn.
Life is not promised. They were meant to be. They were meant to be.
It's called Reggie White and Jerome Brown, A Football Life, and it is memorable. Interviews with Keith Jackson and Gary Cobb, and Ray Didinger does a great job from those days. Mike Golic, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin. Very painful when you kind of look and see how the lives were snuffed out. And also Norman Brayman and Harry Gamble talking about White's departure from Philadelphia. Sarah White involved in that as well. So really great video and just a tribute to those men. And so I urge you to watch it tonight at 10 o'clock. A Football Life, the story of Reggie White and Jerome Brown, two Eagles who were dominant forces on and off the football field. Of course, today we also obviously are talking about the Eagles. Big game on Sunday against the 2-1 San Francisco 49ers. We'll hear from David Akers, who the all-time best kicker in franchise history, who is now a member of the 49ers, comes to town on Sunday. It's going to be weird seeing Akers in a San Francisco uniform. We will also take your predictions. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Steve in Alabama. Steve-O!
Hey, what up, man?
How you doing?
What's up, man? I can hardly hear you, man. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, Steve. Can you hear me now? Okay. Can you hear me now, Steve? Okay now? Or
hey,
am I too loud?
I can hear you now. Hey, I'm glad to see David Akers. Wonderful kicker. You know, the best kicker we ever had. But we gotta win this game, man. This has to be our bounce back game. If we don't win this game, I will be so worried.
If the Eagles don't win this game, Steve, I mean, you have every right to be worried. As we look at some video, you watch video from yesterday. Michael Vick's got the glove on the right hand, so I don't know if he'll wear that on Sunday. The swelling is down. Went through a full practice yesterday and said he felt pretty good, Steve. Hey, Steve, are you old enough to remember Jerome Brown and Reggie White here?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not at all.
All right, well, if you have NFL Network, I urge you to watch the show.
I want to watch it, man. I think I'm going to try and sit down and watch it later on tonight. Yeah,
it's good stuff. But as far as the 49ers, I guess I'm more concerned with the San Francisco defense than I am the San Francisco offense. But what does that mean? I was not concerned about the Giants passing game last week either. So you never know in this game. I will be interested to see what Juan says today about covering Vernon Davis. And stopping Frank Gore in the running game.
Man, I'm over the Giants game. With the Giants and the Eagles is a boxing match, and they just punched us in the mouth, and we got another round later on in the season. So
yes,
it's usually when it counts.
Yes,
that's how I see it.
Yes,
Eagles, man, nothing to worry about. We gonna get it together.
Yeah, you got a prediction for me?
Oh, yeah. Prediction. We're going to go 16, 49ers. Let's go 38, Eagles.
38 points, Steve-O.
Bounce back game, man. We got to win this thing, man.
It's a lot of points.
But
points.
I'm going to see how Brian Rowe turn out. I mean, he is very undersized, and, you know, you can see that. But, I mean, you never know, man. If he can come downhill, make these – he seemed like when he – you know, his guarding the fullback, he seemed good in coverage. Seemed quick enough.
Well, but, what you're going to see is
the only two plays I actually seen him on.
Well, Steve, thanks for the call. He's played a lot. He's been in the nickel all season. What you're going to see is teams trying to throw over the top on him, and that's going to be the challenge. He's only 5'9". But he's a very good football player, tenacious football player. I'm really interested in seeing him in the run. And if I recall correctly, in the last preseason game, blitzed very well. So I want to see if the Eagles use him in that capacity as well. I think there's a lot of things they can do with him. But they got to get some answers at linebacker. I mean, in 3 weeks here, we're shuffling this team around. Last week, we were talking about moving Chaney to the middle, Casey Matthews to the weak side, Moses Folku to the strong side. Now, Casey Matthews apparently out of the starting lineup, and now it's a new player in the lineup. So that's concerning to me. You got to find some stability at some point. Let's go down to Miami and talk to Evan. Evan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you, man?
I'm okay. A little frantic, a little frenetic, but you know how it goes.
I understand. Long-time listener, first time I've ever gotten through. It's great.
I just wanted
to share a story about when I was 10 years old about Reggie White and Jerome Brown. My mother had some business in Tampa. And if you remember that horrible game that we lost in the Big Sombrero with Brad Gable as quarterback.
Yeah, James Joseph ran the ball like 36 times. And if I recall correctly, Seth...
It was an awful game to see.
Yeah, and Seth Joyner went off in the locker room after the game, if I recall correctly.
Oh, man, yeah, we didn't have this type of media coverage back then, unfortunately, right. Or I would have been never getting any good grades in school at all, I'm sure, and watching it all.
Right.
But my mother had some business down there, and we decided to go to the game, and she was really cool and had us stay at the same hotel that the Eagles came in, and when we checked in, I saw the Eagles banner. I said, oh, look at that. And she said, why do you think that's there? And they all came in, and, you know, I sat down in the lobby with them and got pictures taken and autographs with Jerome Brown and Reggie White, Wes Hopkins, Andre Waters. McMahon was there. He was kind of an ass. He didn't stop.
Jim was – I actually really liked Jim McMahon. He was certainly unusual. I remember in Arizona, we stayed out at the Point in at South Mountain every time we went out there. It was like this great luxury hotel. And so there was really nowhere to go, so we went to this, like, the bar near, and just sitting, and Jim actually invited me, and I was, whatever I was, 27 at the time, to have drinks, and he was the coolest guy I think I ever met, and every, like, a million women wanted to have a drink with him, not one time, nope, didn't take a drink from anybody, didn't, just because I think Jim realized that once he said yes to one person, the entire club would have been on him. And he was just a cool guy to sit there. And he's like, and I know he's having some health problems now, which is unfortunate, but he was the ultimate kind of guy's guy. And football players really responded to Jim. And I love the story, and I love you here, you telling me about Reggie. Now, do you still have that memorabilia from when you were 10 years old?
Oh, my goodness, I do. I have pictures with him and my family. We actually ran into Reggie again at Burns Steakhouse that night in Tampa. Which, if you know, you've probably been there. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And he was in the waiting room, and I went out there, and I was talking to him. He was so nice, such a big guy. And, you know, most of the pictures I was taking with him where we were standing up, it was like me, and then, like, not even the middle of his chest at the top of the picture has been cut off so much. He was just such a big, intimidating guy.
That's the thing.
It was great to meet them, and, you know, they were so cool. And that defense was so good. I mean, if you're listening and you watch that, you haven't read Dave's article, just look at the film that's going to be on that of the football plays, not just the emotional stuff that everybody will get into, but just look how that defense just took every offensive line and just said, you don't matter. We're just going to destroy you.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since we've had that around in Philadelphia, you know, the quick defense that we go with now and everything that we've been doing. It's kind of nice to remember just having those big guys that just smash people out of the way and still have the speed. There's no one faster than Reggie White now.
Yeah,
I don't care the 6'3", 250-pound defensive end. There's no one as fast as him.
No, you know, Evan, it's interesting, though, that recalling those days. I mean, the Buddy Ryan era was ultimately extraordinarily disappointing, right? I mean, they didn't win a playoff game. Not until Bud Carson came along in 91 did the defense play to its true potential and led the league, and they were great when Randall got hurt.
55 sacks.
But the thing you mentioned, Reggie White and how big he was so physically huge, and that's what comes across in a special tonight. People, when he passed away, it was like, how can Reggie White die? Reggie White doesn't die, he's larger than life.
I know.
And so,
I totally agree that he'd be the head of the NFLPA right now and be doing a great job. He was just great. I always remember him when he was with the Packers, just throwing Eric Williams off with his left hand like he was swatting a fly.
They were great times and a great gentleman to meet, and just God has a plan for all of us, and unfortunately for those two, they are joined in death. Evan, let's transition now to 2011. Your feelings on this game on Sunday. Your prediction, please.
Well, it's as must win a game as you get in Week 4. That's for sure. You don't want to be 1-3 with three NFC losses. That's for sure. You know, Frank Gore, even though he has an ankle injury, he worries me.
Mm-hmm.
Kendall Hunter worries me. Kendall Hunter especially worries me for my fantasy team if I'm going to play Frank Gore.
Their
passing game, like we were talking about last week, Eli didn't worry us. I'm really not so worried about that. We got to control the run game, get off the field on defense, and just relax and make some plays. I mean, the offense is pressing. You know, Vic wants to do so much. He's such an extraordinary athlete, but he really can just drop back and just flip it to a hot route. And just let these guys make plays. I think they'll do it this week. I think they'll settle down. There was a lot of distraction, no matter how good of a professional you are, last week with the Giants game, the way things went with the games last week, and that was a bad game that we need to put behind us and get going. I'm saying 31-17 Eagles.
Okay. Hey, Evan, don't be a stranger. Great call. Thank you.
All right. See you there.
Good stuff. That is Evan from Miami. We're going to take a little break here as we wait for the coordinators. They will be Bobby April will be first up around 11:30. So we will listen in on them. A big test this week. San Francisco 49ers come to town. A team that doesn't score a lot of points, but they have great special teams. They have a very good front seven defensively. They will be a test for the Eagles Sunday, 1 o'clock, Lincoln Financial Field. We'll be back. Eagles Live in just one moment.
This aisle isn't big enough for two zeros.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Is that all you got?
I'm up to my knees in zero calories. Pepsi to the max, so let's drink all of these.
Snoop! Pepsi Max. Too much taste to be called a zero.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Saving for our child's college fund was getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our 5-year-old how to dunk.
Scholarship. Honey, go get him.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
And we're back, Dave Spadaro with you. Let's go to Atlanta and talk to James. Hi, James.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Go
ahead, man. Welcome.
I was just calling in because I think the biggest problem is with the Eagles' defense. They need somebody out there that can really hit somebody, like, you know, put fear into him. And I think Jarrett will be that guy.
It's interesting that Jaquan Jarrett has not been, rushed into the lineup. I mean, he must clearly need a lot more development. And so I understand the idea of having somebody who's physical who's going to hit you. But if you're not getting to the plays on time, and if you don't know the defense, and if you put the defense in risk of blown calls, I mean, what are you going to do? It doesn't. If you can't get to the play, it doesn't matter how hard you hit. You're not hitting anything. So I hear you, and I would expect them to try to accelerate Jaquan and get him at some point ready to go. He's got to get ready. He got to get the kid out there. But they didn't have an off season. They didn't have. He doesn't know the defense. Maybe he doesn't know where he's supposed to be. If you have somebody like that, you can't have him on the field.
But my point is like we haven't had somebody like dominate like across the line. We're good, but we haven't had somebody dominate like you're scared like Jeremiah Trotter. You just been running there without thinking about getting hit. We need somebody that's gonna attack, and wear him out. And as far as Vic, I think they just need to let him play his game and not protect him. Like I understand like some of the pass plays, but like a two-man route, you got to let Vic play because I see instances in the game where he's scared to take off and run because, I mean, I guess the coaching staff.
No. Totally untrue. If he wants to run, he runs. He has complete freedom to change plays, to run with the football, to do what he wants to do back there. If Michael doesn't run, it's because he thinks he's got a better option throwing the football down the field. It has nothing to do with the coaches restricting Michael Vick. This offensive scheme is great for Michael Vick. So when plays are not made, it's a result of, at times, bad play calling. I agree. And then also execution problems from the defense or from the offense. Line of scrimmage, receivers dropping passes, all of that. So I'm not going to tell you that you can blame the play calling, but don't say that Michael doesn't have free rein to run. He has free rein to run the football. And frankly, the Eagles offense is better when he does run the football.
Right. And as far as these short yardage, I mean, we got to figure that out. Cause, I mean, 1 yard, we got to be able to get those. I mean.
I'm with you. I agree.
That's all I got to say.
Thanks, James. Hey, James, give me a prediction.
My God. I say the Eagles score 30, the 49ers, I give them 10.
Okay. Thanks, James. The idea that the Eagles are not an intimidating defense, it's one that is very much a real conversation. Who is the intimidator on this defense? Probably don't have one, per se. Trent Cole, Jason Babin, a very good player. Cullen Jenkins, very physical player. What we're looking for, I think, what the fans seem to say is they want to have an intimidating linebacker, intimidating safety. You're not going to get an intimidating safety or linebacker from outside. So that you got to develop one of these players. Jonathan in Philadelphia joins us. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how are you, man?
All right, how are you?
I'm excellent.
Good. What's up?
Just had a question about Keenan Clayton. Now, I listened to the previous call, and I understand what you're saying most definitely about, you know, guys having to know where they need to be on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like Keenan really covered well in the preseason game. And every time I see him on the field, even when he makes a wrong turn, it looks like he has the acceleration to recover when he loses a play.
Yes. Would agree with you there. But I don't know what it is with him. I don't know if it's he plays well in space, but needs to be more physical when he's tangled up with blockers. I don't know why Keenan is kind of been bypassed by Brian Roll, other than Brian Roll's played very well.
Right. Most definitely he has.
Yeah.
Also, on a note of, I'm sorry to cut you off, but no Casey problem. Matthews, mm-hmm. I just feel like in a lot of instances, even though he might have a little more recognition or a little more tackling ability, I feel like he's a little plodding, just a little slow.
Well, one thing that you don't see is that really explosiveness from Casey at this point, and that could be because he's thinking too much. I mean, think about it. He gets thrown into middle linebacker job,
right,
and got a lot to think about, a lot of responsibility, and then maybe just as he's kind of getting it a little bit, mentally, he goes to weak side linebacker. So there's a whole new challenge there.
Right. And I definitely do see the explosiveness when he's kind of attacking the line like Trotter used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lateral movement that I see the problem with. The outside, the recognition on somebody running outside.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope it develops. It's so quick, and there's just any hesitation at all from the linebacker position, you're done.
And, right, right. And you're exactly right.
I mean, it's just the slightest hesitation. So when he's reading Brandon Jacobs last week and he's got his eyes in the backfield and the play action fake, well, he stepped into the play action fake and Jacobs has passed him already.
And you can't... Right. And it definitely goes beyond one play. It's just like for me, like I've definitely been following you guys. I know we're going to take a little time to get acclimated with each other, you know, the guys on the team, to the point where they're playing at that high level. But at the same time, when I saw guys like Keenan Clayton get on the field, I was just amazed at how many times he's like glued to a tight end or he's glued to a running back out of the backfield where he has like I don't know how many tips in preseason games just smacking the ball away, you know, pass defenses. So yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was kind of wondering why Keenan hasn't gotten more playing time, but I mean, there's obviously a reason. It just, you just look at Casey Matthews biting on that play action. Hey, Jonathan, give me a prediction.
I'm gonna say Eagles 24, 49 or 17.
Okay. Back on the winning track.
Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you very much. So it's Bobby April coming up here shortly, special teams coordinator. Now, the special teams going against Ted Ginn Jr., two kick returns for touchdowns, one punt, one kickoff this year. Their punter has been lights out, averaging 52 yards a kick. David Akers, of course, 7 of 7 on field goals. The Niners are winning football games because they're winning the battle of field position and because they are explosive in the return game. We have not seen the Eagles explosive in the return game to date. I believe they will stick with Deion Lewis, and he has a chance to be explosive, just not there yet. Doug in Connecticut. Hey, Doug.
What's going on, buddy?
How are you today? All right, how are you?
Cool, hanging in there a little bit, you know, get a little more tense than I'd like at this point, but, you know, I'm a positive person, so, you know, I was just calling to ask you a few questions.
Yes.
I guess the first off is, you know, as I'm watching the game, obviously a new defensive kind of scheme, and the wide nine, it seems like they kind of switch it up sometimes. Sometimes it's not as wide. Is that kind of what happens sometimes?
Doug, give me a real quick prediction. We have Bobby April ready to go.
Go for it. 30 to 10 Eagles.
And then we'll talk about the wide nine after. Thanks, Doug.
All right. Cool. All right.
Any questions?
You talk about the challenge of Ted Ginn. I mean, he started off the season great with a punt and a kickoff return. Just talk about what you guys have to do to stop him.
Yeah, he, you know, he's really a good player. I was in the same division as him for a number of years. Probably has had more returns called back. He would probably be more prolific. Well, he definitely would be more prolific. I bet he had 3 or 4 at Miami call back. So he's really he's just a really good player. It would really help our football team win the game by stopping him. So that's our mission. That's what we got to do. But it's a real big challenge because he's about as good as he gets.
Bobby, what are you seeing in the punt return game, specifically with DeSean Jackson?
Well, there haven't been a whole lot of opportunities. It's just kind of worked out that way. We didn't have a whole lot of opportunities in the preseason either for some reason. So Deshaun's always got the ability to break one. We've got to do a good job of trying to get people to keep the ball away from him. Deshaun's average is not up real high, but our opponent net is pretty good. I think we're ranked like 6 in. No, I don't think we're ranked 6 in the league in opponent net. That's really the mission of that team. You know, when they punt, you get the ball as close to that line of scrimmage as you possibly can. If you can pass it, it's even better, but you get it as close as possible. So our return average is down, but he's a major reason why that opponent net punt is so high and so good.
What was your take on the execution of the Mayday field goal at the end of the first half?
The guys did a really good job. I thought both, well, the whole team did. The whole team, they got out there as expedient as you could get. The guys that were on the sideline were totally aware of the situation. Coach Reed did a good job of informing them and myself, what was up. And when we ran out on the field, I thought the composure of the kicker and the punter was outstanding. We had a player that was kind of stayed on the field for a little longer than he needed to. And I think Chaz did a great job of watching the clock and watching him get off, and a lot of poise to make that play. So, I think both the holder and the kicker have a lot to do with the success of that play. Yeah. But so did everybody. I mean, they got down there, they got set. We had a pause a little longer, so you can stay in that stance a little too long. But I thought it was going to be a real momentum builder for us in the second half, going in at halftime. Anytime you score on the last play of the half, you got something to go in the locker room to give you a little more momentum than the other team. And I certainly thought it did that. And so I was real happy with the play, real happy with it.
What determines whether Macklin goes back there or whether it's Deshaun?
Well, you know, Deshaun is the main guy, and whenever he needs to be spelled, we put Macklin back there. But we have every, you know, I do. You know, Macklin's kind of had, in terms of the returns, it just hasn't worked out where he's gotten the reps as a returner being here, because there's been some people here that are good, and he's been a primary receiver, and there's been the at least a consideration to if someone can do it as good, you know. But he can return. But the primary reason, to answer you just point blank, is when Deshaun's gassed a little bit, or he's whatever from that particular offensive series, or maybe they're even talking to him about adjusting a pattern or something with Michael Vick. There's a consideration. We have every confidence in Macklin. I mean, Macklin's he's a great punt returner waiting to happen. I think he just hasn't had it here, and he hadn't had it before I got here either. So, but it's in there. It's in there somewhere. One of these days, he's going to get an opportunity, and he's going to take it, because the guy was one of the most prolific returners in college ever, and he's still got the same skill set, so he should be good.
Has no experience kicking at Lincoln Financial Field?
Well, this will be interesting for Dave. You know, I'm sure he's been having this day circled for a long time. And it should be, a neat thing for him. We have a great rapport with him. This whole organization obviously does. But he's a competitor on Sunday. So we can't wish him too much good luck.
Alex handled the spotlight of being the guy to replace
Fantastic.
Him.
I mean, I think he's everything we thought he would be, to be honest. He's a cool customer. He's got confidence. He's highly skilled. He keeps getting better every day, too, as we go through the weeks, you know, from training camp on to, you know, every day. He's got a chance to really be good, and he's actually a little stronger than I thought. You know, he didn't kick off in college, so there wasn't a whole lot of data on him. He's doing pretty good.
With Brandon Hughes a little hamstrung, can either Marsh or Jarrett sort of pick up his slack?
Yeah, they're gonna. Coach will decide who'll dress, but both of those guys are really good players. So I'm anxious to see them get in there, to be honest, because I think a lot of both of them. I like them both. I like their professionalism, their maturity, their skill level is high. It's going to get better. I mean, they're like any other guy. These guys, you know, they're used to going out there and competing with a group of very good 18 to 20-year-olds. And now all of a sudden they're competing with the absolute very best of about a 10 to 13 year span of the very best of the very best. So there's a natural growing process, and they're going through it right now. But the more they play, the more they play on teams, the better they'll get. And
does Marsh have an advantage just because he's a cornerback and Hughes is a cornerback?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. He's a little more of a perimeter guy, a little bit more on the edge on some of those things. So for special teams, a little bit. But Jaquan, we just need to get him out there, and he'll eventually get his opportunity. And when he does, I think he's going to be a really good player. I think he's going to be good. I mean, he works at it, and he's tough, and he can do the one thing that is really a skill that is overlooked sometimes. You know, I mean, the guy can really tackle. And say everybody ought to be able to do that that plays on defense, but it's a tough skill to have and to get and to acquire. And so I look forward to when both of those guys play for our football team, because I think they were both very good picks, and they're both going to bring a lot, I think, to the organization.
49ers with their punt game and return game, they kind of had the ability to control the field. What do you guys do to counteract that?
Yeah, they've got a lot of really good players. I mean, they've got, you know, all their specialists are good. I mean, Jennings, the snappers, 12 years, maybe 14. I think it's 12. Excellent snapper. Andy Lee, you know, best punters ever, came out of Pitt, you know, been great since then. We've talked already about Ginn and then David, you know, so they're strong. I mean, they got a lot of good players. I mean, they've done a good job. Their record is over the last few years has not been great, but their organization has done a good job of procuring talent, and it shows. So it's a big challenge for us. I mean, we have to help the probability of winning a game, and we have to make plays on our end, and we got to stop their plays. I mean, that's the only answer, and we just got to be more prepared, and that's my end. And the players have to absorb that preparation, and then they got to perform better than the 49ers. And that'll give us a greater probability. And the other way, if we don't, the Niners will have a greater probability of winning a game. It's as simple as that. Simple, but not easy, as Marv Levy used to say.
You have any plays up your sleeve, like the Bears trick play from last Sunday?
That was the greatest special teams play I ever seen. It really is. I mean, it's the greatest play. Dave Tobe, who coached here, I'm sure designed it. And then the execution of it by Johnny Knox to run back, you know, make that center field turn, stick two hands out right near the sideline and catch it by reaching, then stay in bounds. Man, that was, I'm sorry they had a hold on it. Because that was a thing of beauty. I mean, that was just a beautiful play. And if we do, I'm going to exercise my Miranda rights. What I say may and can be used against me. So I'm not going to tell anything that we have up our sleeve. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
And that is Bobby April, Eagles special teams coordinator. And, yeah, they have a big challenge on Sunday. We would love to see kind of an explosive play like that. A fun special teams play can really go a long way, can it? And the Eagles, we saw it with DeSean Jackson against the Giants last December. Would love to see it this week against the 49ers. Something to get this team going, energized. Eagles need to make something happen early in the game. This pattern of falling behind early in the game, I think it catches up to you after a while. And the Eagles need to take a lead. They haven't done so here in this regular season. Let's get to the telephones before we get to Marty Morningweg and Juan Castillo. And we'll talk about what Doug wanted to talk about, the wide nine. I think they stay in wide nine for the most part throughout a game. I mean, in short yardage situations, they don't. They will play a five-man line at times in short yardage situations. But for the most part, I think they stay in that wide nine. Jesse in Maryland joins us. Hey, Jesse.
What's up, Dave?
How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing good, man.
Good.
Listen, I'm going to make a comment just based on something that you said.
Okay.
And it's going to be, it has to do, of course, with the linebackers. And it's probably going to be a name that we've hashed and rehashed. And, you know, you might not appreciate it, but I just want to address it just for a second.
Please. Okay.
You made a comment that we can't go nowhere else and get anybody. We have to work with what we got.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. My question is, or my comment's going to be about a guy named Tatupu.
Right. Okay. So Tatupu has had great success in his career, and is a free agent. Now he probably weighs about 238, 240 pounds, right?
Okay.
And so you want to put another small guy out on the field. All I hear from you guys is need to be more physical, need to be bigger, need to be better, faster, stronger. Well, don't tell me about a 240-pound guy.
That we put him on special teams.
Yep.
He flew around special teams for a few games, and the genius of Jim Johnson and the talent, and of course we knew about Jeremiah Trotter's history being a former Eagle, he plugs him in to the middle.
Yep.
When he does that, we go from 26th, by the end of the year, we're 10th.
Okay.
He, I want to say single-handedly, but there's 11 guys on the team field, and I know that. He didn't single-handedly do it by himself, but what he did was, by himself, he gave it a different attitude, and he just gave the run defense a different complex.
Okay.
That's what improved us. I think guys like that, that are waiting to prove themselves, when people say they're done, washed up, they haven't played, and Jeremiah tried to look that way. I mean, we were like, what in the world? This guy was languishing in Washington. He wasn't doing anything. Why are we bringing him back? So,
But there's no Jeremiah Trotter out there. Jeremiah Trotter was 260 pounds. I mean, you are primarily talking about a linebacker against the run. Lofa Tatupu is not a run linebacker. He's a coverage linebacker, as A.J. Feely can memorably tell you.
And that's the exact example I was going to use next. I'm not necessarily talking about just the run.
I'm talking about
the exposure of the underneath and intermediate routes. They're not just running on us, man, as proof of it with the Brandon Jacobs wheel route. Now, I'm not saying Tatupu would have been able to keep up with him, but...
Well, that was one... I hear you. And, I mean, in different situations... The breakdown in game one was the first quarter, Steven Jackson, big run. Otherwise, the defense played pretty well. Would you agree with that against a weak St. Louis offense? Agreed. Game two, the Gonzalez killed the Eagles, and a single late run from Turner killed the Eagles.
Right.
Okay, so in game three, it was Victor Cruz catching a pass, bouncing off two players, and then Victor Cruz catching a pass in traffic against two players, and it was the wheel route. So, I mean, where are we getting killed here in the underneath game?
Well, I think on the second Victor Cruz touchdown, I think I remember seeing Nnamdi take a jab step towards the middle.
Then
he faded back and got back.
I saw Nnamdi back up waiting for the route, and then he lost his feet and then didn't go up and get the ball. I saw Nnamdi waving before the play, backing off. Cruz runs his route inside, then outside. Nnamdi's sitting there waiting for him, and they'll show a replay here. And he's waiting for him, and then he kind of slips and then doesn't make the play. Nnamdi needs to play the ball better. Do you have a replay from the end zone?
You got a point. Do you guys have the other one?
Here it is.
I recall Nnamdi taking a jab step.
We can show this from the very start. I mean, look, the Eagles need to play the ball better right there. Jared Page needs to get over, and Nnamdi needs to be stronger. Here we go. Here it is. Here's Nnamdi. He waves off. Okay, he knows. He backs off. He's releasing. He's got the tight end. He steps up and he slips and loses his footing.
what I was talking about. The one step forward.
Oh, wait, where you step to where the tight end is.
The one, yeah, right. The one step forward. You got Tutupu in there, or somebody that at least the corners know isn't going to give up a big play every game. Now, I'm not saying that that was the linebacker's fault. I'm just saying, if you mentioned the A.J. Philly game. Listen, that's how this guy plays, Tutupu. He is a route reader.
Jesse, I will agree with you that in his heyday, he was a very good player. If he's this good, why does he not have a job?
I think because he's waiting for us to call, to be honest with you.
But nobody's called him. Nobody's even had him in camp.
I've heard of a few offers that weren't good enough or he thought wasn't good enough for him.
Wow.
I'm not going with the thing that nobody's calling this guy. That's not happening. Let me ask you this. In the basis of that argument, who called Jeremiah Trotter when he was in Washington?
Yeah.
Jeremiah Trotter looked like he was done. Done. He looked like he was done.
Is that live?
Jim Johnson, thank the Lord, brought him back, and it basically saved us. I was only using that example because it helped with what's going on with the run game. However, we are having underneath passing issues, Tony Gonzalez. You know, you got Tutupu in there, maybe, you know, the quarterback thinks twice about throwing it over there if he gets kicked off once by this guy. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro. I'm just saying you said that there was nothing else out there, and I believe there is.
Okay.
What is your harm in taking a look at it? At least look. You look at it, it ain't there. Okay, then you work with what you got.
I respectfully disagree. If you were to tell me what are you more concerned about with the defense, I would tell you that I'm more concerned about the run defense than I am about the pass defense. I think they'll get that pass defense squared away. There's too much talent here. You got too many good cover players and too much of a good pass rush. That will pay off. But the run defense, I need 60 minutes of good run defense. That's more of a concern to me. That's just me, Jesse.
I agree. However, you know, if you just let, you know, Nnamdi just play cover instead of having to worry about these zone things we're doing, I just think a better pass protecting linebacker in the middle will help. I think this guy's out there. I think we should take a look, and we're just not.
Okay.
We can agree.
Fair enough.
I understand that.
Fair enough. They have tryouts every week, and Lofa is not one of the players, and I keep an eye on him around the league. Hasn't been invited anywhere. So I don't know what the deal is with him. I don't know if he's hurt, giving hints that he wants to retire. I'll ask Adam Kaplan when he comes in. How's that?
All right.
Hey, Jesse, give me a prediction for the game.
I'm going to say Philly 42, David Akers 16, and the rest of the team 6. So that's going to be, what, 22?
42-22. Sounds like the AFL. I like it.
I think David Akers is going to hit 4-for-4 and maybe 5-for-5 on us, to be honest with you. Really, but then that's good because they won't be scoring four and five yards on touchdowns.
Are they moving the football like that up and down the field?
No, they're not moving the football like that. But you know, on us, one run, they're going to be in field goal position, 45 yards, and David Akers is going to be icing this.
You know,
so
if
hopefully,
I got to tell you, I agree with you. If the Eagles, and thanks for the call, if the Eagles don't stop the run this week, then I'm really concerned because the Eagles are going against Frank Gore, who's averaging, 3 yards a carry, Kendall Hunter, 2.7 yards per carry. I mean, let's hope the Eagles' defense is up to the task. Let's take a look in the auditorium here as we get ready for Marty Mornhenweg, who will be the next coordinator up, and then Juan Castillo. We've already heard from Bobby April, and nothing particularly groundbreaking with April other than, you know, it's a pretty good challenge for the Eagles. Pretty good challenge for the Eagles on Sunday against the Niners. All of a sudden, a very important kind of must-win game for the Philadelphia Eagles. Remarkably, who are 1-2. Who would have thunk it? Iverson in Waterbury. Hey, Iverson.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
About the defense.
Okay.
All right. Why are we not playing man?
I think they do play some man. We'd have to kind of hear from Juan on that. I think Juan will probably be asked that question.
Yeah, because I figured we got Nnamdi and Asante and Cromartie that you know, like Cromartie and Nambi's like press cover corners, you know. They could shut down their mans. I mean, if they do that, I think the defense would be better off, man.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I mean? And the linebacker situation, I like the move with the rookie coming in. Is he going to be starting there?
Yeah, he's starting at weak side linebacker, Brian Roll.
All right, and Chaney's going to be in the middle?
Yes, and Foku's on the strong side.
Okay. Y'all said about that Tutupu dude. You said he don't have a job, but Trotter didn't have a job. Why not give him a chance to see what he can do?
Well,
it's a hard question, right? It's like a hard thing to answer, huh?
I think they've probably evaluated that he can't play anymore. I mean, I the Lofa Tutupu is the name that we've been hearing since training camp, but the guy has not been invited to a single team's workout. I mean, I will ask Adam Kaplan when he comes in, Iverson. I will ask him, why is Lofa Tutupu unemployed? I promise you that.
All right. Other than that, man, this show rocks, man. This is my first time getting through. I'm happy.
Thanks, man.
You know what I mean? I love the Eagles to death. You know, we should be 3-0.
Yeah. He's excited. There's no doubt. Too bad we couldn't get your prediction. All right, let's talk Eagles offense. What's going on with Michael Vick? What's going on with an offense that really hasn't been as consistent as we would like it to be? Marty Morningwig up at the podium.
All right, that last ball game, details got us offensively. And one thing I will say is we will prepare hard and we will work hard, and with the thought of getting better every day, and then normally good things happen. Disappointing. Most of the things that occurred are correctable. We did some very good things. Our numbers are pretty good. You know, in fact, excellent in some cases, but the details in the critical situations got us just a little bit. And really, if you look back, if something goes poorly at any time in the game, it becomes critical, you know, so we've got to be more consistent. This ball game, this next ball game against the San Francisco 49ers, you know, their record in the past and their 1-1 right now doesn't show it, but we've played these men three times in recent past history, and their defense has always been very good. They may be even better. I think they may be at the height of their of playing with this crew that they have. They've got excellent pass rushers, very active. They hustle. They run to the ball. They've got a crew of linebackers that are one of the very best crews in the league at the linebacker spot. They're in the 3-4, of course, so they've got four of them. And their secondary is very aggressive. And so they make it hard on their opponent. You can see by the scores. They make it very difficult on their opponent to gain yards. They're listed very high on the third downs and total yards and like very good against the run up to date. They have been very good against the run. So it's a great challenge for us, great opportunity here back at home. We'll open it up to questions. Well, we missed a couple sneaks, you know, and we've got to get it in on the sneaks. And that third down call, that's my responsibility. You know, everything comes back to me, and I take that responsibility seriously. And so we've got to punch it in down there. And there was you can do it several different ways. And really, the first one called, you know, goes back to details, you know, that we should I feel strongly we should have been down in there. I'll tell you one other thing now. Typically, when you come off of a couple games like and we've played very good football teams, and they've done a heck of a job. It's normally not them. It's normally yourself, and that's clearly the case here. And so, tightening the things up.
Are you a believer in those situations in toughness over technique, or vice versa?
Well. Look at down on the goal line, pads are low, and it's an attitude and all these type of things. But however you get the ball in, you know, you know, we get it in many different ways. Passing the ball, shoveling the ball, running right at him, running away. So there's many different ways to get the ball in. There is a use of deception down there as well, you know. So, but the sneaks, those are pads low and aggressive and feet, continue with the feet, all those things.
The size of your line, which is smaller pounds-wise than it has been in the past.
No, I don't think that's a situation there. You know, I don't on the third down play maybe, but no, that's not a problem there.
This will be Kelsey's first game in the regular season against an odd front. What are the challenges he faces going against a big old 330-pound guy? Something, yeah, he did a lot in the preseason, but it's the first time in a regular season.
That's right. He's a very good player as well. So it'll be a good matchup, and that's always the key against the 3-4, how your center holds up. And, you know, there's different ways to help in that area. But I think we have a fine, fine center. I think he's done an outstanding job up to date. We've got to clean a few things up. You know, you saw the game, and very, very little of it is him directly. But our communication problem, we've got to clean up.
Given up five sacks here this season. What's your take on how the line has done?
Yeah, I think we're ranked seventh in the league, and geez, one of them I was looking for Mike to throw the ball away there. But last week, anyway, I thought our line played pretty well. You know, there's always a couple of plays there. In fact, the two hits that Mike really got hit on, pretty good. You know, he can take care of himself just a little bit better there. So I thought our line, two units I thought played pretty well, our line and our tight end spots. You know, I thought Clay and Brent also did a fine job. And then we've got to, our skill guys have to step it up just a little bit.
Sean Jackson has only had two catches in each of the last two games. What do you see in there in terms of what the opposition is doing and what's the challenge trying to get him involved?
Well, as you know, people play us differently. They'll just come in with a certain philosophy, and for the most part, teams have been playing us very, very soft. Even some of the blitzing teams have done that to us. So you have to, and geez, I believe we're fourth or sixth or something like that in big plays, so we're getting the big plays. It doesn't look like we're quite as dynamic as I want to be. However, when a team does that to you, you have to become a surgeon, and you've got to play at a high level on a consistent basis, and then the big plays will come naturally, which they have up to date. So, but you've got to surgically dissect your opponent when they're playing you like that.
Marty, Sadie came out a bunch on the goal line last week. Was that more schematic, or just that happened to be the time to give him a blow, or what was the reason for that?
No, he's in most of the time down there. We go by play, a specific play, and it changes week to week. You know, I thought the first play given to the fullback was a good play down there, and thought it would get in. But he will have plenty on the goal line. He's a very good short yards run. In fact, I think up to date, I looked at this in the off season. LeSean, I think, was the second best back in short yardage type situations, and Ronnie Brown was listed as a third. So, I think we've got two good short yardage and type runners there.
What makes Patrick Willis so good?
Excuse me.
What makes Patrick Willis so good?
Well, he's got everything. He's got the skill and ability. He's got great instincts. He hustles. I mean, he's got a big-time motor, and it appears that, and this goes along with instincts, that he's really sharp, and he can sniff things out very, very quickly, and then he's got all that skill and ability, which allows him to get there fast. You know, on defense, you get to the point and hit the heck out of him, beat him to the point and hit the heck out of him. He does that. He's very, very good. He's got it all. There's nothing missing there.
Tim's question about Deshaun. Is there such a thing as, I mean, he's such a special player. Let's try to get Deshaun the ball. Or is it more like we're just going to run the offense, and if it goes that way, it goes that way?
Well, there's times I try to get him the ball. Yeah, absolutely. And there's plenty. Sometimes, you know, he got the old doubled on the line of scrimmage one time last week. So, but yeah, there are times where certainly try to get him the ball. Other times, want the quarterback to go through the progression and read.
You know? Did you feel like we need to get him going?
I would like to get him the ball. I want to get Jeremy the ball and Jason the ball and LaShawn the ball and on and on and on as well. Yeah. We'll see. That's a day-to-day thing. We've got a plan. He did go through some of the walkthrough. So we'll see. I did not ask him how he's feeling after that walkthrough, but we'll see on that. And he'll be day-to-day.
Can't play. Does that make it harder then to get the ball to Deshaun, as you said, to allow the 49ers to focus even more on him?
Well, there would be a possibility of that. Yeah, we'll get to that later in the week. But got great confidence in Jason and Riley and Steve, and so I think we'll be just fine. Jeremy's doing everything possible to get himself back on the practice field.
Michael Vick's been knocked out of the last two games. What needs to happen in order to make sure that he's upright for?
Well, I think both of those really were sort of crazy things. You know, he gets a little rolled down. And he hits one of our guys. You know, on the first one and the second one, he breaks his hand. The guy's hitting him up here, and then his hand gets in the way. So. Now, if it was, I'd like to keep him clean, and I'd like him to protect himself when he's running just a little bit better as well. But some of the things happen. It's football. It's a tough physical game, as you know. He's going to get hit on occasion, and some of it's just fortune there.
Marty, you made a bunch of comments in that after the game that you felt he was hit late. Then he came, he kind of apologized for that. Was there any validity, do you think, to what Michael said?
Oh, I think there's been a couple, that very well could have been called. But look, we've talked about this before. I've got great experience with this. I've Brett Favre, Steve Young, Garcia, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, they all are very, very active players. Active quarterbacks don't get quite the call. It's just that's the way it is. It's natural. And heck, if I was a referee, I'd probably call it the same way. When you're moving and grooving, you don't get the even when you're in the pocket, you don't get quite the calls. And Mike's got some calls, but yeah. So look, that's life. Some things aren't fair. Some things always don't go your way. You know, hey, we've got to deal with that. That's part of the game. And there's I've coached a lot of active quarterbacks. And it's always been the same there. You know, there's been three or four a year that probably would have been called on a different style of quarterback. You live with that when you play with that style of football.
It's not so much more on Mike than anybody else, don't think?
I think it's that way for all the active quarterbacks. That's just the way it is. It's a natural thing within our game. And that's just my personal opinion, having great experience coaching more than a handful of athletic, gifted, moving and grooving type of quarterbacks with great skill and ability and moving in the pocket as well as outside the pocket and running ability. That's just the way it is. So, and I know we always try to protect the quarterback in this league, so I'm sure that they'd take a hard look at that.
Pretty good last. Between the 20s, ran the ball with frequency. With the W going.
Was that because something you saw Giants defenders lessening the burden on Mike coming off concussion?
Well, that's everything cumulative, and that was part of the game plan. The way they ended up playing us made it even just a little bit better. However, we've got to finish. We've got to execute a little bit better. In some of those critical situations, it's just that simple. And I will tell you, we are going to prepare and we are going to work hard to get better every day. All right, man.
All right, so that's Marty Morningwig, Eagles offensive coordinator. And there's still a lot of confidence in the red zone. They still will move it around. And it sounds like Marty, you know, he's going to tell you that it was more of a player breakdown than bad calls at the goal line. Quarterback sneak should have gotten in. And I'm sure he watches the film and sees that opportunities were missed in the blocking scheme. As far as the Niners, a very good front. They will come after you. And Jason Kelce will have a big responsibility in that 3-4. He'll actually be covered up as the Niners. Well, they'll line up in 4-3 as they do here. And they will put pressure on the quarterback. That's the way they do things. We've heard from Marty. We've heard from Bobby April. Now we hear from Juan Castillo in a moment. Let's get a quick call in from Alan in New York. Hey, Alan.
Yo, Spud, what's up, man?
How are you?
I'm good. I haven't been able to call you. This is my only day during the week I'm able to call you.
Well, we're glad to hear from you.
Well, you know, about that loss, there's things we could take out of it that's good and a lot of things we could take out of it that's bad. I really wanted to mention one thing, though. That hurdle jump by Owen Schmidt, that was classic. I couldn't believe it. I would love to see some more of that, but the play calling I have a problem with, that fourth and one at the goal line.
Yeah.
You know, we have Riley Cooper, Brett Celek, LeSean McCoy as well, you know.
Alan, we have Juan Castillo. You want to hold on for Juan, and then we'll talk on the other side?
I'll just call you back.
All right, thanks. Juan Castillo, Eagles defensive coordinator.
Juan, what have you seen from Brian Bull in his cameos or Nickel or whatever he's done, whatever packages he's been in so far?
You know, I've seen his athletic ability. He's an explosive player, and he makes plays.
He played well in the preseason, at least we thought he did. I mean, was there any thought even back then of maybe promoting him to a starter, or were you dead set on seeing, you know, what your first three guys wanted to do?
Well, you know, we had already we already had a rotation going, and then, you know, he had some good games, and he had a couple of games where he was still learning. You know, they're all still learning and improving every day, you know. So, you know, he did a good job on certain plays last game. But really, they've all been in different packages. You know, he's been in the nickel. Casey's been in the Buffalo. He's been in base. So we're really just trying to use all our talent. Well, you know, Keenan was in our dime package. You know, he's still been in different packages. You know, Keenan's a very good athlete, you know, good cover person, you know.
So, but you picked him in the fourth round last year. I mean, is he just not – when you drafted him, did you know that he was not three-down linebacker material or that you saw more as a coverage?
Well, you know what's happened is he's gotten bigger. You know, I mean, he's a good athlete. He's a guy that can cover. And really, he's getting bigger and stronger to someday be that type of guy that can be in there every down.
Scrutiny, you know, around here. Obviously, when you have a rookie in that position, what's the message to him to, you know, to make sure he stays kind of positive?
You know, just to keep working hard and keep improving. There's some things that he did well. I mean, there's some things that he's doing better. You know, so that's the message. And really, you know, he's still in some packages, just like B-roll was in some packages. And he's, you know, he's getting better at certain things, and I got to do a better job with other things.
Is it your intention to get Casey back into the starting lineup when he's ready, or do you feel like Brian can be – that's his spot to lose right now?
Well, I think, you know, what you see is we're trying to see the guys that play the best. The guys that play the best, those are the guys that are going to play. That's what we're trying to do.
How much of a factor is trying to find, though, three that will be in the same positions week to week? Because, I mean, obviously it's going to be the second or third week now where we've got a different lineup.
Well, you know what? The thing is that they've all been playing there. So as far as, you know, the key is for them to make plays when they're in there and hit their gaps that they're responsible for, and then everything will take care of itself.
Well, I'm seeing Nate back in there at safety. Was that a case of, you know, looking at him as playing better? Was his knee coming around? How much is it physical?
Well, you know Nate from last year, you know, and I think it's been, you know, we talked about this earlier, it's been a process. You know, and he's getting stronger, and you know, he's feeling more comfortable. And I think you see his athletic ability on that one play where they went down the middle, you know, on that post. And then he's just getting stronger and stronger. We feel good about Kurt, too, and JJ. So, I mean, it's you know, it gives us some flexibility.
Juan, where's Jaquan Jarrett in his progress?
you know, what we're doing is he's again, he's learning. He was out for a little bit, and he's coming along, learning the scheme, and in time he'll be able to compete.
Well, is it hard? Obviously, injuries can always happen, but is it hard to gel as a defense when pieces are being moved around every week and you're young to begin with?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's you know, it's the same scheme, and you know, the backups get reps too at during practice. So no, it should not be.
Well, you have been coaching on defense, but you've been here long enough to know. I mean, this team's never had stability at linebacker since you got here in the mid '90s. Under Andy, had 45 different starting linebacker combinations, which is a lot. Do you have any theories why that position? I mean, we've had Pro Bowl linemen and safeties and quarterbacks, right. But why has there been so much instability at linebacker?
Well, you know what? I remember when I got hired to coach the offensive line, you know, they had had a problem with offensive linemen. I think they had had a couple of first-rounders that had been bust. You know, and it's always been, all my life, it's been about fundamentals. You know, you work hard, you work the fundamentals, you do them over and over. You see us doing the same thing. We have plans. Every position has daily musts that they do over and over and over. And that's the way I feel about the linebackers. I mean, you see that they are improving. They are young. It's going to take a little bit of time as far as where you get to see where you say, oh, man, now this is like, you know, a Pro Bowler. We do have guys that have the ability to be Pro Bowlers. Now it's time for them, for us as coaches, to develop them and for them to believe in themselves and make plays.
Process when it comes to Asamoah, where to use him, how to use him, where he fits best?
Well, you know what? Well, we've used him a couple of different ways, you know, and I think that, you know, I mean, you know, Atlanta might have been a little different. You know, we had some things happen, but, you know, Nam, I mean, he's a good football player and what a professional. You know, and there's still some things that we'll show as the season goes on with him.
Because that's something he didn't do a lot of while he was in Oakland.
Well, you know what he did? He did play zone coverages in Oakland. You know, he played in that. You know, there was more zone coverages than you think. You know, in Oakland. But you know what? He's playing man here too. You know, and our three deep zone. It's called zone coverage, but basically our corners are man to man. You know, that's the way. That's the way we've done it here. You know, with Jim and you know. With our three deep deal.
Juan, could he cover the tight end? Gonzalez obviously gave him some problems with the landing. Obviously, Burns raised the tight end.
Right. I think that's something that we'll see on Sunday. You know, we'll see how we're going to use our different packages.
Could you talk about the challenge of Vernon Davis and what makes him such a threat?
You know, he's fast. He's got good hands. He runs good routes. And they use him in that way. They use him as a third wide receiver. So he's very explosive.
Juan, how much of a critical situation is this for your defense after the last 2 weeks and the two touchdowns in each of the last fourth quarters? What
you know, it's very – well, you know what it is, Les, is it's very important for us to win. That's the bottom line. And we have to do our job. And that's the way we're looking at it. We're talking about playing four quarters – and winning the game. And, you know, that's very important for all of us.
What can we do to work on that fourth quarter so that you guys can close out these games?
Well, you know, part of that is, I mean, you see the way we practice. We practice fast. You know, that's important to make sure that Wednesdays and Thursdays are fast practices. And then I got to do a better job of putting my guys in position to make plays.
You need to see a little bit more physicality out of your defense.
Well, I thought we, you know, the thing when you go through being physical, I think when you look at it and you talk about the run game, you know, again, we had a couple of plays where gap responsibility more than them not being physical, because when you look at it and you put clips together, you see that our guys are physical, and I don't think anybody could go up to them and say that you are not a physical group. And they are a physical group. I think the thing is we have to continue to make sure that we get in the proper gaps. When we get in the proper gaps, you know, people will not run the football. They don't run the football on us. I think that's the key.
This linebacker shuffle, just the development of them as a more personal thing for you because you are or were a linebacker. I mean, you you were excited about working them when you asked for be on defense, and you're obviously starting a little bit on ground zero here with a lot of young guys. I mean, Washburn's presiding over the D-line. Is this personal for you?
Well, you know what? The thing that you have to understand is we're teachers, we're coaches, right? And I know this is when with the whole group is when you work fundamentals and you do them over and over and over, it becomes natural. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, you go back to when I coached on the offensive line, there's some college free agents that ended up playing and starting for a long time that nobody thought they could play. You know, but what it was is they had athletic ability, they had desire, and then they were developed. Well, that's the same thing that's going to happen with our linebackers. They're athletic, they're tough, they're physical, they're just young, and they just need to be developed. And the thing is, we're doing the correct fundamentals, and they'll get better and better and better.
Juan, how do you think the adversity that you've gone through so far with the defense will serve you and the guys moving forward?
Well, you know what? You talk about, you know, we're here in Philadelphia, you're here to win. You know, I mean, that's what, you know, and we've lost two games. I mean, that hurts. That hurts. That's why you work your butt off. And that's why our guys are working their butt off, because you know what? We don't want to lose. We don't want to lose for the fans. You know, we don't want to lose for our owner and the guys. There's nobody in that room that wants to lose. It hurts. I mean, right now, I mean, it hurts. So what do you do about it? You work harder, man. You stay up longer. You know, you fight. You know, you compete. And then you look forward to Sunday so you can get that W. That's what you do, see? That's what real men do. That's what that's what our guys are, and that's what we're going to do.
When you come off a game where the tackling was as poor as it was Sunday, as a coach, is there anything more you can do other than stress it in meetings during the week?
No, you know what, Paul? Just work. You see that we work the tackle circuit. The important part is to make sure when we're doing that circuit that everybody's doing it full speed. Make sure that we're coaching it properly. And, again, you go back to that same thing that, you know what, you're addressing it, you're working it fundamentally. Now we have to make sure that it's being coached properly when we're working the drills. And then we have to make sure that when the guys are doing the tackling during that circuit, that it's being done at a full speed level. So make sure that it carries over. Pardon me?
Have they been doing it at full speed?
Well, the thing is, see, you have to understand the plan. It's, I mean, take yourself back to when you started writing. All right, there's times where, you know what? You didn't write a good article. So what did you do? You know, you went back and you know that these are my fundamentals. Okay, man, you know, it's not that like I'm not doing it. I just got to keep working the fundamentals. So what you do is you keep working the tackling. You keep working it hard. You keep pushing it harder. And then what happens is you keep doing it every day, every day, every day. And you know what? What happens is every once in a while you're going to miss a tackle. Every once in a while you're going to write a bad article. Do you want to do that? No. But you go back, you have a plan, you have the drills, you keep working over, 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 over and again, and then at the end, you have success. That's the way it's always been for us. That's the way that with Coach Reed, it's always been like that here. You work hard, you know, you play physical, you play fast, and you outwork your opponent and keep doing the right fundamentals, and we have success.
Brian Broll has a...
All right, there you go. That is Juan Castillo stressing the fundamentals with this Eagles defense. And Eagles making a couple of changes here defensively. Nate Allen starting at safety in place of Kurt Coleman. Brian Roll starting at the weak side linebacker spot in place of Casey Matthews. It's Eagles Live here. We give you the update on the headlines. Bobby April saying special teams bracing for a challenge against a very good group in San Francisco. Marty Morningwig still has confidence in the red zone. And Juan Castillo, yeah, the key is fundamentals. Vic on track to start for Sunday. And we remind you again, A Football Life, Reggie White and Jerome Brown airs tonight at 10 o'clock. We'll sneak preview that at 7 on Eagles Nightly. Let's take a little break here. When we return, Adam Kaplan joins us in the studio to talk about the Eagles, the NFC East, and yes, Lofa Tatupo.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander.
one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Come out to the 7-Eleven Eagles pep rallies. Meet Swoop, Eagles cheerleaders, Eagles alumni, and have the chance to win great Eagles prizes. Check out the events calendar for more information.
Turn left. You have arrived.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go, only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Guys, healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snap look extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on earth.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Beaky, I've been wondering.
Yes, sweet?
How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple. It's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet. What?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm, it's delicious. I'm gonna get some for myself. Got fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. Enrich timeless goodness imported from Lancaster County.
We welcome you to our Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro joined by our NFL reporter, Adam Kaplan. Hi, Adam. 1-2 football team. You shocked about the fact the Eagles are 1-2.
I'm just surprised that when you look at the schedule and you see the Giants on the really hurting. They come in here last week and I said to you at practice last week, I thought the Eagles would blow them out. You said, wait a minute. These games are always close and you turn out to be right. The Giants came in here and outplayed the Eagles. Let's be honest about it. The week before, Eagles outplayed the Falcons. The Giants came in here and did a great job. I mean, they were physical, they were fast, and they were tough. They did a really good job, and the Eagles just did not respond well enough.
Why 8 touchdown passes allowed in the last 2 games? Something that I don't think anybody saw coming. I don't think anybody figured that teams would pass with so much productivity against the Eagles.
Well, we saw the tight end, Dave, against Atlanta. Tony Gonzalez had tremendous success. We know the covering the tight end for this football team has always been a chore. Then we had the poor tackling against Cruz, and then Asamoah did not play the ball well in the air. The ball should have been knocked down. That never should have been a touchdown. And obviously the one where Cruz just ran down the sideline was bad tackling.
Yeah.
So they've got to shore up, as Juan Castillo said, a little bit. I think that was obviously clear. They got to work on the tackling, and they'll do that in practice. You know what? I expect them to be in pads. Now, it's not that you're hitting. It's just getting used to being in pads and working on your technique. I expect them to do that.
Adam, San Francisco comes to town. They are 32nd in the league in total offense. That's yards. They're 12th in the league in points, but that includes the special teams, touchdowns. I mean, this is not a great offense through the first 3 games. But you never know. I mean, what do you expect Sunday? Eagles defense, San Francisco offense.
Well, I expect it to be a close game. I expect it to be low scoring. As you said, San Francisco has trouble scoring. But I'll tell you what, they have one of the best front sevens in the in the NFL.
Defensively.
And, yeah, defensively.
We'll just talk about the Eagles' defense but against the, all right, their offense.
But
we'll get to their defense.
Their defense sets up their offense to be able to move the football on the ground a little bit. Problem is, Frank Gore, 2.5 yards per carry. They can't move the football.
Yeah, Kendall Hunter, 2.7. Yeah,
I love this kid. He's going to be more involved. This guy's a change of pace back. He supplanted Anthony Dixon as the number two back in training camp. He did a good job. Yeah, Hunter has not run well yards per carry, but this guy's a change of pace back.
They
just can't move the football because they have no passing game other than Vernon Davis.
They seem to have this formula where they play special teams, they win the battle of field position, they're very secure with the football, and they beat you with the defense, and then the offense kind of sets them up for David.
They're
Davis
hoping in the fourth quarter, right? They're hoping the fourth quarter to keep it close. You mentioned Akers, maybe they get a field goal, win a football game, but for them to have any chance in this game Sunday, they must run the football better. I mean, if you're watching Frank Gore, he doesn't look great, but their offensive line, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line has been dominated all season. Last week, the Bengals really did a good job against them. It's just that the 49ers defense keeps them in each game because their defense is so good up front, so active, fast, and physical. They're going to keep it close. I think the Eagles might have trouble scoring this game. The only way you're going to score is in the air. They've got veteran safeties in there because their safety play was so bad last season that they brought in Medea Williams and Dante Whitner, who's got a sore hip. He's no given.
He's playing on Sunday.
Yeah, he's no given. He says he's playing, but I would put him in the questionable category. The corners aren't great. They're beatable, but I think they're a little bit better off. They moved on from Nate Clements, which was probably the smart thing to do.
Shante Spencer, the best of the group there.
Spencer is a guy who's been in the league a long time. He's had some injuries, but he's very fast. He's got good size. Terrell Brown's a good football player. I think they have an average secondary. I think you could beat them, but Vic Fangio is their defense coordinator. He's really aggressive. When you compare the other defenses of the 49ers in recent history under Greg Minuski, is more of a scheme-based guy, execution guy. Fangio has been in the league a long time. He was with Harbaugh and Stanford, but he was a D coordinator for the Colts, for the Texans. He's very aggressive. Their front seven, their linebackers, and you're going to see in our film piece for Film Room, wait to see Navarro Bowman for those Penn State fans. This guy is really good. No one's talking about him.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker people need to be talking about, and you'll be talking about him. Trust me, this guy's really fast.
So what's the strategy for Michael Vick and for Marty Morningwig? I mean, Michael can't stand back there and try to outrun the San Francisco pursuit. Drop back, get rid of the football?
Good for Morningwig. He wasn't like he was calling out Vick. He's like, hey, you know, I'd like to see Michael keep the take care of the ball a little better.
Yeah.
That's actually, I mean, listen, how many fumbles? Seven fumbles?
It's too many.
I know, and it's forget that it's only been what, 3 turnovers. I don't care about that. You're taking unnecessary risks. I do like though, and people need to. We should be pointing this out. I like that he's going through the progressions, but you've got to get the ball out between 3.5 and 4 seconds. That ball's got to be at our hands, and he's got to be decisive. If you're going to run, run. If you're going to throw, throw. Don't keep waiting 5 and 6 seconds. You're going to take hits. I blame that on him and nobody else.
Yeah, no question. I think that's a part of him becoming a complete quarterback is I've seen it. I just don't think he's been in sync and sharp the entire season.
I agree with you.
In any of the 3 games,
I would say though, in Atlanta game,
when
they came back in the third quarter, they executed big time. And they got hurt.
Yeah.
What can you do?
All right. So some defensive changes. Casey Matthews out as the starting weak side linebacker. Brian, roll in your reaction.
Well, interesting point here is that Greg Cosell did not know about this, so I brought it up to him. I said, I'll tell you this, Greg. I know he wasn't a training camp much. When I was there, he was looking great. I talked to you and other people. He was great from the very start. He said, I liked the little I saw of Raw on College Tape. What did you think of him? And his first sentence to me was, I'll tell you what. In my tape study, this kid would have been a first-round pick had he been 6'1".
Of course, yeah.
Okay, he said, this kid is big time, very good talent. We talked about the comparables. I kind of brought up London Fletcher because he's low to the ground. He said that's a good one. He brought up a lot of smaller players, guys short and stocky. When you look at Roll, he doesn't look 229. He looks 240 to me, but he's just so short. It's like a fire hydrant. I mean, that's the way he's built.
Yeah.
Will teams
try to throw it over him?
Well, I think they might try to run him because he's small, but I think he'll hold up against the run. And I think he's smart. That's the thing. You saw Matthews who bit on the play action. That's the thing you expect from Raul because he's so smart that that won't happen to him. But you're not going to know until it happens. And I'll be interested to see how they use Raul because the Eagles are not a blitz-heavy team. But how do you use him? Do you use him against the tight end? How do you do it? How do you drop him in coverage? We'll see.
How will they? And I can't imagine that they will have Moses Foku covering Vernon Davis?
That's a good question.
I can't imagine.
I think Asamoah. Okay, this is just a guess. I've seen Asamoah cover Tony Gonzalez before. Not a lot. I think they will use him on Vernon Davis, because if you shut down Vernon Davis, there's literally no way, unless it's off a turnover and the Eagles give it to him inside the 10, that they're going to score, because they can't run the ball right now. Their offensive line is absolutely awful. They're having a problem with Chilo Rochelle, was pulled last week.
He'll be pulled, right.
Okay. Joe Staley is not playing well, their left tackle. They're not getting great center play. I just think they're unsettling the offensive line. This should be a good week for that wide nine from the Eagles.
Your thoughts on Nate Allen becoming a starter? The knee not 100%. How do you think he's moved down the field?
I would say this. I made a note of it. I took notes after watching the defense last week when I watched the rewatch of the game on Monday. I saw Nate Allen was running much better. Is he 100%? I don't know. In 1 year after a torn patella,
you never get to 100%.
You're going to be 100%. But I think he's getting close, and I don't think I thought at training camp he was thinking about it. It doesn't seem to be favoring him very much, if at all. I think this is the right move. I'm going to make a prediction here, though, on Brian Roll. Not only will he be the weak side linebacker the rest of the season, I think he'll be the weak side linebacker for the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
I think he's that talented. I think Casey Matthews is a sub-package player.
Speaking of linebackers, we have been inundated with phone calls this
all
week.
Right.
And I promised the callers, to promise the Eagles fans, I would ask you, Lofa Tatupu. We've heard the name since training camp. Why doesn't he have a job? Why has he not been invited for a workout? Give us the latest on Tatupu.
I did a little checking on this. I would say, what is today, Thursday on Tuesday, because I chart every workout. He has not had one workout. I'm surprised by this. I believe the Eagles called him. When they had the emergency list with like Kirk Morrison and some other middle linebackers in the middle of August, that was just in case they wanted to go in that route. But the Eagles are choosing to go within the roster. Now, if for some reason Roll doesn't work out, I think Tatupu or some other veteran linebacker could get a call. But
why has he not gotten any
You have to look
is
at
he hurt?
There are a couple things. He's had a major injury history. He turned down a pay cut with the Seahawks. And I'll tell you this. When teams see guys who have big injury histories, they want to depend on him. Because if you're bringing a linebacker now, you're thinking this guy's probably going to coming and starting right away. You're thinking he's probably going to help you right away.
Yeah.
Can you depend on Lofa Tatupu? And the other thing is, this is the thing about Tatupu. You would think a team would bring him in just to work him out to see where he's physically. Teams aren't even doing that. That is not a good sign, fans. That's my summary of Lofa Tatupu right now.
So can Eagles get by here with Chaney in the middle and Foku and Brian Roll?
I think Chaney will be better this week. I think if you build on the experience from last year, I don't blame – I mean, listen – Bradshaw did run well. There's no question about it. But a lot of those runs were not right in the middle. There were tosses. There were runs outside, runs right and left. I expect him to be better this week. And Foku he'll do his job. But I'm really interested to see how Brian Roll does. And the 49ers are the first team. They're big on play action with Vernon Davis. We'll see how they run Vernon Davis here because he's a vertical threat. You also see this when we do the film room piece. They move him absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
And they got him last week on Reggie Nelson on just a vertical stem route right down the sideline. He just ran right by him.
Yeah, that's why I take number 24 and I say number 24,
Asamoah,
there you go. That's your guy.
I put Asamoah because Asamoah is 6'2". Vernon Davis is 6'3". And Nnamdi can run and he's physical. I would do that. Why not? You shut him down. Or as I watched Antonio Gates 2 weeks ago, the Patriots held him without a catch. They just had bracket coverage because they weren't worried about. They're like, Vincent Jackson, go ahead and run. Go ahead. You can do what you want. We're not going to let Antonio Gates beat us, and he didn't.
Okay. Jeremy Maclin, we'll see if he plays. Hamstring injury.
I'm gonna upgrade him. You know, I people have been asking me like left and right. I said doubtful on Monday. I'm gonna put him in the very questionable category just because I think he's going to try to test it. If not today, on Friday. But here's the problem with hamstring strains.
You can pop them anytime.
You can't take it. Arian Foster, for people who love fantasy football, this guy's the epitome of a hamstring strain. You don't put a skilled position player out there before he's ready.
Right.
That's why I think it's lower than 50-50 he plays.
Okay.
But
and if he doesn't,
it's not
play,
a severe one. It's not as bad as Vince Young's.
If he doesn't play, how does that impact the Eagles
yeah.
with Jeremy Maclin out, Avant moves to the starting lineup. Uh-huh. Steve Smith becomes the three, a much more integral part of the
offense.
Here's
the thing about Steve Smith, and when I studied him coming over from the Giants, he played a lot outside. This surprised me. I think he'll rotate with Avant if Macklin doesn't play, and you could put Smith in the slot. In fact, I would make an argument that Smith is a little better outside than Avant is. Sure. I think he's a little bit faster. And then Riley Cooper looks like he's going to be able to play. You run him in a little bit. I think they'll be okay. The thing is, 49ers can't score, but you would like to beat them deep a little bit. I think this is where Jackson, we didn't even talk about DeSean Jackson. I'd like to see him, and the coach has been really good about this. When they fail to get him involved, if you study their history, the next week he'll get like 10 pass targets.
Yeah.
So I expect them to learn from last week and move him around and get him on those safeties.
Okay. Adam Kaplan, NFL reporter, with us here in studio. We thank you very much. What's your prediction for the game?
20-10 Eagles.
20-10 Eagles. Adam Kaplan, Dave Spadaro, thanks for joining us in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When times are tough, it can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer. It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, well, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
McCoy in for the touchdown!
This season's here on your Philadelphia Eagles whenever they go on the road. Global Event Forum, the official Philadelphia Eagles fan travel sponsor, is serving up memorable times for all Eagles away games. We're talking Dolphins, Redskins, Giants, and Cowboys. Perfect for family trips, buddy getaways, bachelor and bachelorette parties. Global Event Forum packages include hotel and game tickets. So let's go Eagles, literally. Book now at globaleventforum.com, globaleventforum.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Turn left. You have arrived.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that, and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go, only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full-QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Ricoh is the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Visit Ricoh at www.ricoh-usa.com.
Aside and just focus on football on Sunday?
You know, I think basically I just realized that from the start of the season, I'm a 49er and this is just, you know, going to be another game. Obviously, I'm going to where my house is and my family and all that, and obviously spending 12 years there, you just can't erase that. But I'm just looking at it as another game as of right now. Kind of had to go through the same thing last week, going back to play near my hometown crowd, you know, kind of growing up. So, you know, kind of put the emotions away and just realized that, you know, I'm no longer going to be on the sideline where all the Eagles helmets are, you know?
Dave, did you ever see yourself in this position maybe, or like look at some point in your career, look ahead thinking you might be somewhere else, or was it kind of like a whirlwind at the end of last year, boom, you just had it kind of figured out?
Well, yes and no. most guys don't get to play their entire career in one place. And even for myself, even though my active years were basically with the Eagles, I did bounce around a little bit, and I've seen it happen to so many other guys. You know, you're here for a good stint, and, you know, you'd like to finish your career with that team. At least I did. I wanted to finish my career with the Eagles, and, you know, my home's there. And but, you know, that's not the way the business works. And there was a change of heart, and they wanted to go a different direction, and that's fine. And I'm very happy where I am right now. And so I think everything kind of worked out, you know, the way it was supposed to.
After all this time with one team, what's been the biggest adjustment of moving to a new team this year?
Well, I think just how far it is, as far as going from the East Coast to West Coast, and, you know, I have three children, I have two dogs, two cats, trying to find a rental place. The lockout obviously hurt to make a lot of these decisions of where we were going to live and how quickly we had to do it, and it was during training camp and trying to get family out there, vehicles and all that type of stuff. But the football aspect is gone pretty smoothly. Great organization as far as dealing with. I have with my specialty.
All right, that is David Akers, and good for him, feeling like he's in a good spot in San Francisco. Let's check that audio, make sure that file is corrupt. Let's get some more phone calls. 215-339-6709. Let's go to, what is this? Raul in San Antonio. Raul.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, great, man. First time caller. I've been listening to your show for many years.
Thanks,
so
man.
Very excited.
Appreciate it.
No, what I'm calling about is that my company here in San Antonio just sent me to Philadelphia this coming week, and I'm going to get to attend my first Philadelphia Eagles game against the Niners. I'm
nice.
Very excited.
So when are you coming in?
Actually, my flight lands at 1 o'clock Eastern. I mean, well, right there. So I'm going to have to get to the game as fast as possible. I think I'm going to be missing the first quarter, but I'm going to be there.
Nice. Well, we'll delay the start. We'll delay the kickoff for you, Raul.
Yes, yes. That'd be great, Dave. That'd be great. Another question I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Can you all podcast the post-game shows? Because I've noticed those don't get podcasted. And then my company blocks the show from the internet, so I can't hear it. So the only way I can hear is podcasts, and I don't get those post-games on Monday morning that I'd like to hear them.
We will begin doing that this week, yes.
Oh, that's awesome, Dave. That really, really appreciate it.
Sure.
Give me
a prediction for the game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
By the way, it's going to be cool here on Sunday. It's going to be like 55 degrees, so make sure you are dressed appropriately.
Oh, yeah, well, it's going to be 100 today in San Antonio. So,
is it really? Know. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I have to deal with all these Cowboys fans. They have their training camp here in our Alamo Dome Stadium, so I can't stand it. But when I go downtown, I wear my Eagles jersey when the Cowboys are here to harass the fans, so I pick on them all the time here. But my prediction is Philly, let's do just a lot of defense, so 16 to 10.
Okay. Well, get here, be safe, have a great trip, and enjoy the day Sunday.
I definitely will. If you see a Medina 16 jersey, that's going to be me.
All right, Raul. Do you have seats yet?
I'm going to buy it on the ticket exchange today,
okay.
I think.
Good,
so
man.
I've seen a few of them on there, so I'm just debating on what if I want to be up on the upper deck or lower level. I can't seem to decide it.
Well, they're all good seats. You know, some of those upper deck seats, I think, are great. And the lower rows of that upper deck are tremendous seats.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
Thanks, Raul. Raul making the trip in. Look at this big leap. He was a half yard from being a hero. You know that? Half yard from getting in the end zone and being a hero. Owen Schmidt looking like Carl, or looking like, who was the great leaper? Who was the great hurdler? Edwin Moses. Dating myself. We are giving away tickets, guys, to the game. Speaking of Raul, we've got two pairs of tickets we want to give away on Eagles Nightly on Friday. So we're going to pick the best twit picks that you send us. Two pairs of tickets. So two different winners. We will announce that on Eagles Nightly on Friday. So make sure you get your twit picks in, show your Eagles pride, and you could win two tickets to the game against the Niners. We'll also give away tomorrow with Bo and Chris on Eagles Live. They will have their keys, their hidden keys, their secret keys So you have to watch that entire show. Tune in tomorrow, 11 o'clock, and you could win a pair of tickets to Sunday's game against the Niners. It is also the kickoff of the Eagles' Tackling Breast Cancer campaign in conjunction with Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. So please be a part of that. October, a very special month for the Eagles. Pioneers in the Tackling Breast Cancer campaigns that you see all around the country. Eagles doing it again with Tackling Breast Cancer and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Let's go to D.C. and talk to Vox. Vox?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you? Am I correct? Is
good,
that it?
Good.
Vox, okay.
V-O-X, you know, like brown box or...
Okay, but it's Vox with a V as in victory.
No, Box is in
Box.
Box,
oh, okay,
like
Box.
Black Box,
brown
gotcha. Box.
Okay, what's up, Box?
Yeah. Nothing much. How's it going over there, man?
It's all right. It's all right. Getting a little antsy for the game.
Yeah, I'm excited too. First time caller. I'm from Philly. Just moved to DC a couple months ago.
A lot of first timers today. Thanks for joining us.
Man, I've been calling for months, man.
Yeah, it gets jammed up, doesn't it?
Hey, that's good, man. I mean, yeah. It means it's a good season coming.
People are watching.
Yeah, I had a question about the linebackers. I see they're moving.
Yes.
Casey out.
Yes.
I want to know what you think about, you know, kind of what they're going to do from here or how you – I know they're not going to change the wide nine. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, my hope is that listen, for years there has been instability at linebacker. The Eagles have not been able to find a group of linebackers to build with and develop. So – you've got three young linebackers. Foku, a seventh-round pick 3 years ago. You've got Chaney, a seventh-round pick from 2 years ago. And Roll, a rookie, sixth-round draft pick. So, I mean, these guys were not highly acclaimed coming out of college, but, you know, they're the starters here. So, you know, I hope that they can grow together. It's been frustrating over the years here to see all of these linebackers come and go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was actually wondering the same thing, especially with the, you know, free agency splash. It looked really, really nice. You know, I know I'm anticipating it further, but do you see this next season them probably reaching and going to get a nice linebacker to fit that core?
I mean, they've drafted Barry Gardner and who was the other kid second round? Quentin Caver. And yeah. They've drafted Stuart Bradley in the third round. Would they draft a linebacker in the first round? Sure. If he's valued that high, if he's graded that high, it's difficult to find. In you know, they don't see a lot of impact linebackers in the 4-3.
Yeah, really hard to find. But that D line looks great, man. Trent Coles is getting off the line doing his thing, and you got Babb on the other side. It really looks really good, really well put together.
They just have to play. They've got to stop giving up too many big plays allowed, and they've got to start the games better, and they've got to finish the games stronger. Second and third quarters, the Eagles have been great. The first and fourth quarters, not so good.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like they shut down the run, even Turner, they shut down the run the whole game and had one big play, boof, you know, right up the middle, and he breaks.
Yep.
Other than that, I think they did a good job stopping the run. I know all these commentators say, you know, they're stuck on the run. No, they've actually done really well on the run. So, you know, they're not limiting the big play. That's what's hurting them.
That's what's killing them. And because they're getting a lot of sacks. They're not getting a lot of takeaways. But they're getting a lot of sacks, and if you keep up the pressure, the takeaways will come. Box, give me a prediction for the game.
I'm giving you a different one. I'm looking at 26-13. We haven't until we prove to me that we're going to do what we're supposed to do, like we've been doing before in the red zone. I think we're going to kick a couple field goals in there. So, 26-13.
More red zone woes. You're saying to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but if I'm right, then I'm right. Then you guys got to let me back on the show.
You're always welcome on the show, Box. All right, thanks for
thanks
calling.
Thanks a lot, man.
You got it, man.
Good luck.
Good
stuff.
All right, go enjoy it. Have a great Eagles day and all of that. We've got some stuff coming from the locker room here that we will get to. So take another call, and then we'll lean in the locker room a bit. Jeremy Macklin will update us on his health and briefly, but he'll talk to us and is he going to play? Is he close to playing? Jeremy Macklin with the hamstring strain. You kind of wonder, you've got enough depth there, but he's such a great player. Maybe hold him back so he doesn't hurt it worse. Brian in Virginia. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Good. How are you, Brian?
Pretty good. Looking forward to the game.
Yes, sir.
Been a couple of tough weeks.
Yes. Yes, it has been.
Well, going into the season, I just want to get your take. We knew that the offensive line was an issue, or would be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The linebackers and these rookie kickers. Okay, that was kind of the issue kind of heading in. I think the kickers have looked good. The offensive line has come along. Now again with the linebackers, now tackling.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take on those three kind of issues? That was kind of the talk of the...
Well, I think the Eagles have done a good thing with Alex Henry. They haven't really exposed him to a lot of 47-yard attempts. It's been the one long one in Atlanta before the half that he missed, and then otherwise he's been great. You know, unfortunately, he's kicking a lot of 20, 21-yard field goals because that's the Eagles have been bogged down in the red zone. But this kick here, he did a very nice job in the last seconds of the first half. 38-yarder, smooth as silk, no pressure, no panic, good stuff, good stroke. I think Chaz Henry's been decent. I thought he had a great game against the Giants. I like him. I think he's got a big leg, and I think as long as he can build and get better, he's going to be a tremendous, tremendous punter. The linebackers, I mean, look, what can I tell you? When you change linebackers 2 weeks in a row, that indicates that there are problems, and there are problems. So I like Brian Roll. I think he's a good player. I think the more you play, though, the more teams find weaknesses in you, and you know you got to overcome those weaknesses. So the weakness is he's 5'9". And he's not particularly large, and you're gonna have big offensive guards on you trying to smother you. The offensive line, I like them. I think they're okay. They're a little small inside. I would not, in short yardage situations, necessarily run quarterback sneaks.
Right. Well, we proved that
in the goal line when you've got everybody crashing the A gap. But Kelsey, I think, is, as Marty said, Kelsey's going to be a very, 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 very good center. And DeVan's played well as well, and so is Mathis. Still would like to see Danny Watkins develop. He's a big, nasty, talented player. So eventually I'd like to see Danny Watkins get back in the lineup.
Right. I just have another quick question.
Sure.
Just sort of an organization fundamental question. You know, I know, of course, different teams and different organizations place value on different players based upon schemes and certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like, you know, letting, and this is, I know we're kind of going an old topic here, you know, letting Dawkins go a couple years ago, we're having struggles with the safety position, almost holding no value in the linebackers, always drafting late, you know, letting Bradley walk away. You know, is that, what do you see that, you know, from a fundamental organizational standpoint?
Well, I mean, clearly they put a ton of value on the D-line and a ton of value on cornerbacks, and I can't argue with that. I think the safety picture would be a lot different had Nate Allen not gotten injured. I think he started the season really well last year and was a player who you could see on the rise. Jaquan Jarrett, I can't tell you about Jaquan Jarrett. I haven't seen – he had the interception in the preseason game, but, I mean, he's got to learn how to play. He's got to learn how to play in the scheme. So the safeties, I think they've added 2 second-round draft picks. You got to develop them. Linebacker, they haven't used a first-round pick on a linebacker. I agree. They've spent money by, over the years, re-upping Trotter. They had Bradley here as a third-round pick. They haven't spent a first-round pick on a guy. I know that. It has been a rotating, frustrating group here. They let Carlos Emmons go. He probably wasn't that good a player at that point after breaking his leg, but they paid money to get him here. I mean,
which has sort of always been like kind of a revolving thing.
I don't think I'd put linebackers ahead of D-line or cornerbacks in terms of the importance of them. But
right.
I recognize that you got to make plays at linebacker. The Eagles need to make more plays at the linebacker positions. They are moving people around. They are trying to find the answer with what they have. I don't think there's a solution on the streets. I think the only way they're going to get better is to get better with what they have.
Well, I mean, I totally agree with that. And then, you know, of course, tonight we're going to watch a special about the 1991 Philadelphia Eagles defense, and you're going to see all kind of plays being made by the linebackers and all over the place. So,
but and again, and I know that, and I those were great years. But that defense was great. Seth Joyner was a late round pick who got cut. Byron Evans was a fourth-round pick. They rotated. They brought in Todd Bell. He played a little bit in and out. I mean, there wasn't like they went out and got first-round picks at linebacker. They built that defense on the D-line and in the secondary. And that defense never won playoff games. So, and this defense hasn't won a playoff game either. Don't get me wrong. Haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. So I'm very, very well aware of that.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the game. We got to bounce back. It's been tough here, I think, especially based upon the expectations and what we were hoping to see. And, of course, you know, defense, that's Philadelphia. You know, that's why I'm an Eagles fan. I think that's why a lot of us are probably lean that way. Just got to see a change. You know, this missed tackle, you know, got to get people in the right place, wrap up, and hit some people.
And listen, I got to say, Juan's the kind of guy you're going to like. I mean, he doesn't give you much at press conferences, but his strategy is exactly what you're saying. Build the fundamentals, play physical football, play fast. They just haven't been consistent. I mean, they've been great in second, third quarters. Brian, I want to see how they come out against this Niners team. If they come out flat, if they come out not focused, if they come out missing tackles, oh my gosh, how just crazy frustrated will you be?
Oh, I mean, it'll just tear you up. And it's funny because in the Andy Reid era, there have been times where the team just looks awfully flat, you know, and like, do they want to play football? I always think to myself, and they always say, at the low point of the season, there's always a low point. Hopefully last week was our low point. You know, do these guys want to play? You know, by the effort and the heads down. And I think they're going to turn it around. They always do. So hopefully, you know, the 49ers will, you know.
Pay the price.
Take it.
Yeah, pay the price.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, give me a prediction.
How about 24-17 Eagles?
Okay. Too close for my comfort, but a win is a win. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, we'll take it. Take it easy.
All right, thanks. All right, let's check in now with Jeremy Maclin from the locker room. Hamstring injury. He's been limited in practices. What about today? What about Sunday against the Niners?
You know, monitor it and, you know, ease me in the next couple of days and so I can be ready to go on Sunday.
That's all you needed?
Nobody else?
That's it?
What about the hamstrings?
You know, that's a limiting injury, man.
No, I'm off.
You confident in it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do anything to jeopardize the team, hurt the team. So, you know, like I said, if it feels good and like it does now, and I feel like I can go.
Can you have a must-win game in week four?
I think every game is a must-win now, you know, for us. So, you know, that's kind of how we're going to approach it. You know, we just got to realize that. You know, take it one game at a time. And I think, you know, maybe we're looking ahead of ourselves. I don't really know what the case may be, but, you know, take it one game at a time and focus on each opponent and go out there and get the job done.
Marty said that this team is not offensively not that far off from where it needs to be. What did he mean by that? Is it more attention to detail? Or what?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's what they've been preaching all week. You got to pay attention to detail. You know, so, you know, there's been spurts where, you know, we're unstoppable. You know, so maybe you got to, you know, stay focused, stay on the right track, and like you said, pay attention to detail.
Jeremy, have teams tried to take away the deep ball from you guys more than ever in the past?
A little bit. You know, last couple of weeks, we've seen some, you know, some stuff that teams don't normally do, but they do it against us just to, you know, prevent the deep ball and stuff like that. So, you know, in that case, you got to be a surgeon. You got to go out there and take the 5 yards, take the 10 yards, do that. And we were doing it. You know, we just got to stay consistent. You know,
what did you guys show with LeSean being able to kind of be the focal point of offense last week with the Giants not really blitzing and doing that two deep look and, you know, really trying to take away that deep ball from you guys?
You know, something that we knew we could do. You know, LeSean's a great running back, can run the ball. So we have, you know. You know, if that's the route we got to go, we have all the faith in the world we can do that.
Jeremy, what's the challenge with Deshaun then if they're taking away the deep ball? He's only had a couple catches the last two games to get
him. You know, just, you know, him and I, you know, have to be precise in all our routes. And, you know, when the intermediate routes are called and the short routes are called, we got to go out there and be precise and, you know, be in the right place at the right time and, you know, and the balls start coming.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, it's tasty. That's a complete dramatization, of course, but you get my point.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee. Only at Super Pages. Online, on your phone, or in the book. Look for your Super Pages being delivered now.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Want the latest Eagles news as the story breaks? Then follow us at Eagles Insider on Twitter. You'll not only get breaking news, but pictures, inside information, and prize giveaways. So make sure to go to twitter.com/Eagles Insider and follow the leaders of Eagles news.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's Eagles Live. And a reminder, we're giving away two pairs of tickets on Eagles Nightly, and then one pair tomorrow. So let's start with tomorrow. Tune in at 11 o'clock, Eagles 49ers ticket giveaway. We'll give you our secret clues during the course of the show. And at the end of the show, we will announce who wins the pair of tickets to the Eagles Niners. On Eagles Nightly on Friday, we will announce two pairs of winners who will get a pair of tickets each for sending in the top tweets. We want your twit picks. We want you to show your Eagles pride. We will announce both of those winners on Friday night. So get those twit picks in now. All right. Alan in New York joins us. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Dave. What's up, man?
I'm good. Yes, sir. What do you got for a prediction?
Oh, yeah. Let me give you that. I got the 49ers at 9. I got the Eagles at 27.
Okay. Now, you wanted to talk about wide 9. Is that right? What were you?
No, I was referring to a couple of things that you were speaking about early in the week. One of the things I wanted to touch with you on is the media attention that we've been getting. I know you were talking about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because right before I heard you talk about that, I heard Marshall Faulk once again go off and say, you know, the Redskins are going to take the division and the Eagles are just overrated. I think that article is still out there if you look for it.
At this point, I mean, I understand that. My thought is that there are people like Marshall Faulk who want the Eagles to fail. It's a great story. But I don't really care what people say about the overrated part. I mean, at this point, the Eagles are 1-2, and that's all that matters.
You know what? It's growing pains as much as we hate to say it. Honestly, I have the offseason to blame on a lot of this stuff. And we're just going to get it together before it's too late, and I'm pretty sure of that. We have too much talent, way too much talent for you not to get together. And this is football. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. You know, it's team sport. And if everybody contributes 100%, there's no way you can fail.
Right.
That's something else I had to say. Can't come to the top of my head anymore because I forgot about it. But go Birds and I'm going to stick with my prediction, Dave.
Okay. Alan, thanks.
No doubt.
Thanks for getting back to us, man. All right. Yeah, I think, and I said this yesterday, I just think the national media, they want the Eagles to lose. It's just a good story. But as far as being overrated at this point, I don't care where the Eagles are rated. Eagles are 1-2. It's all that matters. All right, hey guys, we're waving goodbye now. So we want to thank you for joining us here on Eagles Live. And